Welcome to Penance in Purgatory. I'm Abigail.
And I'm Wesley.
And this is the podcast where you can't tell whether we're in hell or not.
I mean, you're in hell right now, aren't you?
I am currently recording underneath my desk.
Like a fucking weirdo.
Like, in the grand scheme of, like, whack situations that we recorded in, I think this is probably the weirdest.
Yeah, because she didn't feel like taking her stuff to her closet, and I just didn't feel like driving over there, so.
To be fair, when we take things to my closet, I have, like, a tower computer. I have to take the monitor and the tower and all of the cords and my keyboard and my mouse, and it's, like, a whole production. And I have to rearrange things in my closet, and it's just a pain
in the ass. No, Abigail, I bring my computer from my house to yours. Because
you've only done that sometimes.
Well, every time we've recorded since I started doing it, I've brought it over because her computer, for some reason, can't install the drivers needed for us to fucking record on these microphones.
I'm not currently using that microphone.
No, she's not.
I'm using our old trusty USB mic, which is just fine.
Yours worked. Mine kind of fucked up. That's why I got the better one.
It's probably because you drop all of your cords and bonds.
It was one time. It was one HDMI cord. And it wasn't a pond, it was a puddle. In the parking lot of your house.
Been one time. It is just humorous enough that it's like, thank you for making my point for me. So yeah, I'm sitting under my desk. I have the drawer pulled out and then like a blanket over in front of it.
Your desk has a drawer?
Yes.
Oh. We use this like weird IKEA table that she has whenever we record at her house. So we never touch her desk.
I mean, I touch it all the time.
I mean, I don't.
Yes, you do.
Not really.
You use my computer all the time.
No, I don't. That's Alex.
It's both of you.
I've used your computer like 3 fucking times, Becky.
Okay. Anyways, do we have any announcements today?
We should have talked about this beforehand.
We say that every time and we never do.
We do it like 1 in 10 episodes. I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
So, then we can jump right into the question that I have for you. If animals could talk, which one do you think would be the rudest? And I have a story if you want to think about that, or the story can just come up in a different day.
I think it would be dachshunds.
Why?
They just tend to be like asshole dogs.
Yeah, well, one of my brothers, he has a miniature wiener dog. She's a little bitch, pun not intended. One time when I was living with my parents, the water heater broke, so I went over to my brother's house to take a shower. So my brother was laying in bed, and she was laying like in between his legs on top of the blanket. Mm-hmm. And she saw me, and she wouldn't shut the fuck up, so my brother just threw one leg over the other and covered her in blankets, and she shut up.
Was that your story?
Really? No. But we'll save that story for another day, when you need time to think about my questions.
Okay, then.
Because I definitely have one of those.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Oh, we do have an announcement. 2 weeks. 50th episode. It's gonna be a party.
It is going to be a party.
Alcohol may or may not be involved.
And only consumed by those who are over the age of 21, because we live in the U.S. Consumed
by everyone involved.
Over the age of 21.
No, just everyone.
Over the age of 21.
No, from everyone from infants to the elderly.
No. No baby alcohol.
No baby alcohol.
No baby.
Can I help you? My dog is very excited to be involved in recording today.
I told you he shouldn't be in there.
He's fine. He's quiet. He doesn't make sense. He's not
the one I'm worried about.
Uh-huh. Bless you. He sneezed.
He's, again, not the one I'm worried about.
All right.
What the fuck are you talking about?
So today, we're going to talk about... I don't think I've talked about castles before, but now we're going to start talking about castles.
Okay.
So, today we're going to be talking about Wolfsegg Castle in Germany.
Okay.
So, Wolfsegg is a small village in Germany, or as it's known in German, Deutschland.
Yes.
I'm learning German, so I am probably going to pronounce most of this correctly. So, it's positioned directly at the center of the village on a hill. And it's about 17 kilometers northwest of Rogensburg. So, all of the sources I found said that it's positioned a peaceful distance away from any major city. So I guess it's like a big thing about the city.
Okay.
Also, I found this and I had to include it since we live in Colorado. It's positioned 420 meters above sea level.
Yeah, that does sound like Colorado.
So, it dates back to the 13th century. And apparently it stood for so long that it's just become a part of the village landscape. And apparently it was built by a wealthy man named as Ulrich von Larber. And acted as a strategic stronghold for the area. Which is strange because it was never really important in any battles. It's mostly just used for lodging for soldiers along the way. So it was basically a glorified hotel for soldiers.
Okay.
And also it provided a peace of mind for the community. That's what the source said, and I thought it was just so cheesy that I just left that in there.
I don't know how they can gauge that, but okay.
I don't know, but then it was later abandoned by whoever the fuck owned the castle and was left for the community. So, in which they used it for shelter for families in need, even though it was in need of attention. It was needed to get fixed. So, apparently it was restored by a wealthy and eccentric man. Who the fuck that was, I could not find.
Okay.
So by some guy who's wealthy and eccentric.
So we're just going to call him Batman.
Yes. The castle was restored by Batman.
Okay.
So the restorations are continuing to this day. That's all the history of the castle I have for you. Now we're on to the ghosts.
I was about to say, is that it? Because you told me it was short, but like, Jesus.
Yeah, today's probably going to be a shorter episode because apparently we both have shorter stories. We may or may not have procrastinated a little bit on our notes.
To be fair, I did not procrastinate. I just had like a fuck ton of homework.
Well, that sucks to be you.
Yeah.
I've been playing Elden Ring.
I have not played video games this week. I had not had fun time this week.
I am a lot more into video games than Abigail is.
That's because you have more free time than I do.
I also enjoy games that are masochistically difficult, like Bloodborne. So I own all the Dark Souls games, but I haven't played them yet, and I need to.
Yeah,
I'm still hopped up on adrenaline because I beat Godrick the Grafted right before recording.
I don't like masochistically difficult games, mainly because I do not have...
Am a masochist?
No, mainly because I do not have good reflexes or hand-eye coordination.
I only have good hand-eye coordination because of video games. So, because I grew up on that shit. There's a card to use, Humanity card, that accurately sums up my life. It says, making up for 10 years of shitty parenting with a PlayStation.
Accurate.
So, the most famous ghost, and also the only fucking ghost I could find, is, so she's referred to as the Lady in White, because of course everywhere has a Lady in White.
Yeah.
Grit, I think this might be the first time that I've brought it up, of Lady in White in a story. But there's so many that I've looked through that I plan on doing eventually that have a fucking Lady in White for some goddamn reason.
It's because men only want pure women.
I was thinking because it takes more energy for ghosts to look like they're wearing things other than white. Probably, because, you know, like the stereotypical, like, ghost. It's kind of like a white, translucent figure.
You say that like ghosts are real.
I mean, you're about as white as a ghost.
I am not a ghost.
You are a ghost.
I am unfortunately still alive. If I was a ghost, I would not be uncomfortable sitting underneath this desk.
If you were a ghost, you could just be standing inside of the desk instead.
Yes.
I'm trying to convince Abigail to go somewhere haunted. Go maybe say hi soon. To the ghosts. So, the Lady in White. So, she is actually the wife of the man who had built the castle. So her name is Gräfin Clara von Halfenstein, but Everell, I found, just referred to her as Clara, so that's what we're gonna call her.
Okay.
So Ulrich was in the military, and was gone regularly, traveling, about doing knightly stuff.
Okay.
Whatever the fuck that may entail. So, in his absence, Clara hired a man named George Muller, and to support her in for protection or if problems occurred.
So he I was know, her pool boy.
Yes, although they very quickly started having an affair.
Definitely her pool boy.
So eventually Ulrich found out about it, and you know what he did?
Killed the pool boy? No, he killed the woman.
No, he hired two farmers to kill his wife. To help him kill his wife.
Yeah, that doesn't.
And ever me. Since her murder, there have been tales of the white woman roaming the halls of the castle, especially within her bedroom. And she's also thought to be the one responsible for the poltergeist activity, in producing strange lights and full body apparitions.
Yeah, she's probably like, woo, give me back my shit.
But that's the story that legend tells us. But history tells us another story. Apparently, so supposedly she outlived her husband and actually wasn't murdered.
Sounds legit.
But people still believe that no matter what her cause of death was, she was the one who is responsible for, you know, haunting the castle. I looked everywhere I could find. Couldn't find another fucking ghost in this place. I'm plowing through these notes. So that's why there's also the story of the hole, which sits on the ground surrounding the castle.
The hole.
The way you said that reminded me of the way in Torso the aliens say the claw.
That was the point.
So, a fun story about the claw, actually.
The claw.
So, I was hanging out with some friends yesterday, and one of them said that. I don't remember the context. And then we went to go look it up on YouTube, and we found this movie called The Claw from 1957.
Oh, God.
Full movie on YouTube. It's like an hour and 17 minutes.
If it's posted on YouTube, then their creators really didn't give a shit about it.
It was made in 1957, Abigail. It's literally in black and white. So, and it's so old, they had to explain what the fuck radar was for 20 minutes. That's how old it is. So, in this movie, basically, this giant vulture turkey looking thing apparently can fly 6 times faster than the speed of sound. And according to the synopsis on IMDb, it has no regard for life or architecture. And it's the dumbest looking thing, and the actors never saw what the monster was until the first showing of the movie. And apparently they also ran out of money, so they just kind of threw this bird looking thing in there. So I'm going to find a picture of this real quick. And I'm going to send it to Abigail, because this is the dumbest looking thing. While I look this up, Abigail, what is the best dumb horror movie you've ever seen?
Probably The Shining. It just holds a special place in my heart.
Why?
Because it could have been so good.
Have you read the book?
Of course I've read the book.
So this is what this fucker looks like. It's terrible. It was green screened in. Oh, you have to crawl from under your desk to see this, don't you?
No, I can look at my phone.
Oh, okay.
What the fuck is that? Looks like paper mache. Jesus.
It's so bad.
Like, ugh. Like, it's terrifying, but not in the sense that it's, like, actually scary. It's terrifying in how shit it looks.
It's bad, Abigail.
Like,
it's,
I feel so like bad. They did The Wing when they had the budget, and then the rest is just, like, progressively worse until you get to the head, and then it's just like, this was made in 10 minutes by a child with clay.
By a child with clay. But yeah, okay, here's another picture where it's a good picture of the face of this bird. And one of the taglines was like, horror from 17,000 BC. And there was a whole, we didn't actually finish the movie because my friends fell asleep in it. Then I ended up leaving because they went to bed.
Oh my god, that's terrible.
It's like nightmare fuel in the worst kind of way. Not the best kind of way.
Yeah, that's definitely like clay.
But it was so funny. It's like the planes were on strings. So funny. It's so bad. So, I'm going to make you watch this at some point.
No.
It's only an hour and 17 minutes. I don't know why I remember that so specifically, but I do.
That's an hour and 17 minutes. Way too long.
Hey, I have another movie we can watch that's like an hour and a half that's better. And is the best bad movie I've ever seen.
I'm not watching Sharknado.
No, it's Velocipaster. I've talked about that on here before.
I'm not watching that either.
Yes, but it's so funny, Abigail.
No.
One of the best lines in that movie is, dinosaurs never existed, and even if they did, I wouldn't become one. What about, that's what parents do. They die on you.
Like, literally, this script sounds like something I could have written as a teenager.
I could have written it better as a teenager. I think it was like some college production movie, but it had a $40,000 budget, and I don't know what the fuck they spent it on.
Coffee.
They probably spent... Nope, no, I'm not gonna spoil the movie. Go watch Velocipaster. It's on Amazon Prime. It's so bad, but it's bad in a good way.
Anyways.
It's so funny. Yes, the hole. That's where we were. We're at the hole.
I literally forgot where we were. That's how far down the tangent chain we got.
You guys, we'll go ahead and post this picture about the bird on either social media and or the sources page. Probably both. It can be the teaser image for this episode.
Just to utterly confuse our followers.
All 12 of them, yes. So, the hole. So, legend says that Ulrich and his sons went missing under mysterious circumstances within the forest, never to be seen again. Some speculate that a monster lives in the hole and is linked to the disappearances. And the theory is backed up by strange noises that emanate from it as if it were from a beast, according to locals.
Or, you know, one of them just killed the others and there's nothing actually in the forest.
There's one theory that what killed Ulrich and his sons was what's her face's man whore, George. There we go.
The pool boy?
Yes, there we go. I forgot all of the terminology. But that's one of the theories.
That would be a twist.
About what is. Keep in mind, this also happened in, like, the 1270s. So, like, a solid 800 years ago, almost. So, locals will tell you that the sound is are not any natural creature that they've heard, and they tell stories of travelers that got too close and were never seen again. And, as I said, the stories have continued for 800 years.
Mm-hmm. A lot of urban legends have.
Well, part of it could be because of the numerous folklore creations in Europe. Some of those are fucking wild.
Yeah.
Especially the cautionary tales for children out of Germany specifically.
They wanted to fuck their kids up.
There's actually this funny YouTube channel I found. It's these two German guys. They basically do the English translation of these German cautionary tales for children. And they're so dumb. Basically, I think one of them was like this one kid didn't want to eat his soup and then he ended up dying. I think it's called like Calvin and Habs. H-A-B-S.
I was about to say, isn't it normally Calvin and Hobbes?
That's a comic strip, I think.
Yes.
That involves a tiger.
Yes.
No, it's Calvin and Habs. I'll post a link to it in our sources page.
I think you're just trying to buff up the sources page because you only have, one source.
I have, like, four, I think.
Wow.
Oh, also, as I scroll down, I realized I have a picture of, what's-her-face.
What's-her-face? The lady in white?
Yes.
With the pool boy?
Well, like, a picture. No, just, like, a picture of, like, what she looked like when she was alive.
Oh, okay.
That is... My computer is now trying to send you the picture of, the bird again. And I don't want to send you the picture of the bird.
It really wants me to see the bird again.
Who doesn't love that bird?
The computer's like, I had to process this. What the fuck is this?
Okay, there we go. There's the picture of this lady. That's supposedly what she looked like when she was alive.
She's cute.
Before she got murdered by her husband. Yes, but how do you feel that knowing that she's been a corpse for over 700 years?
Her living form is cute. The corpse is not cute.
Oh, she's just bones at this point.
Yeah, bones, not cute.
Well, maybe even dust. I don't know how quickly bones turn to dust.
A long time. Granted,
it depends on the conditions.
A long time.
Alright then. So, back to the hole. So. Yeah, so, cautionary tales to keep children from wandering too far into the forest. That's everywhere. But apparently, in the 1920s, there's a scientific expedition into the hole to figure out what the fuck was happening.
Okay.
The 1920s, before the claw came out by, like, 30 to 40 years. Or the Great Claw, depending on... So, it got a couple different titles. So, So the theory among naturalists and geologists was that the noise emanating from an animal was that using the hole as a den, but the entrance was far too steep for any sizable animal to climb up it.
Okay.
And the assumption was that that particular entrance was a vent, and an actual more accessible entrance was somewhere else.
That makes sense.
However, that assumption was incorrect because the hole did not split off into, like, various caverns they imagined. Instead, it went downward at a very steep angle for quite a long time. To the point where it could be... to the point where it could no longer be considered as exiting anywhere else nearby. But I don't know what their definition of nearby means.
Does it ever actually give a number of how deep it is?
No. I could not find the number. But eventually they found a tunnel system that was much deeper than they expected. They had dozens of caverns. And they had found hundreds upon hundreds of bones scattered on the floor of the chambers. Some were ancient and some were relatively fresh. As to how fresh, I don't know.
That's strange. But
since it was difficult to get back up to the surface, because apparently the hole got fairly tight in some places, I realize now my phrasing of that was terrible. They could only bring a small number of bones back with them. And so they tested them, and they were discovered to be animal bones. And that was enough for the team to be like, all right, some animals using this as a den. And then they packed their shit up, and they fucking left.
Got it.
So, that's all I have for you for the story.
Has there been any other expeditions in the hole since, or...?
Nope.
Really?
Nope, but you can visit the castle. It's open to the public normally is May 1st through October 3rd, between 10 o'clock and 4 o'clock, on Saturdays, Sundays, and Bavarian public holidays, whatever the fuck those are. And the entrance fee is €4 per person.
That's not too bad.
$4.38.
That's pretty fucking cheap.
I mean, and then for children, it's cheaper.
Yeah, to get into the, like, museum in Denver, it's, like, $20.
It's fucking expensive. But, yeah. So, it's a fairly short story.
Yeah.
Everyone's favorite segment, Spooky Fun Fact.
So, apparently, it takes the death of 27,000 trees daily to make toilet paper for humans.
So, question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Say you got some poop on your arm. You wouldn't just wipe it off, correct?
Well, I would like wipe it off and then I would go wash it, yeah.
Then why do people do that with their butts? Do we just wipe it with toilet paper instead of using like a bidet?
Well, let's assume that you take a shower eventually. Your butt's not regularly...
Do you shower every time after you shit?
Well, no, but it's assume that you're not regularly coming into contact with other things with your ass.
But still. I really need to buy a bidet.
I think you're gonna have to talk to your roommate who owns the house on that one.
You can get, like, one that you can just kind of, like, put onto the existing plumbing.
Oh my god.
And it's like... And, like, you can take it with you when you move, that kind of thing.
You're ridiculous.
What? What? How am I being ridiculous this time, Becky? For the record, I call everyone either Becky or Linda.
No comment. So today, we are going to talk about a small piece of history. One instance. But that one instance is invaluable to understanding a larger piece of the puzzle. We are going back to October of 1989.
After the claw was released by like 30 years.
Literally no one gives a shit about the claw.
It's so bad. It has not aged very well, but it's so funny because the monster is so bad.
We've moved on from the clawless.
I will never move on.
It's done.
So I finally found someone who loves bad movies as much as I do.
So, October of 1998. The Cold War was ongoing, and the Berlin Wall had not yet fallen. The entire United States, and the entire world, was terrified of the possibility of another world war.
Sounds fucking familiar.
Yeah. During the Cold War, the space race had massively increased the amount of funding which went to NASA. The U.S. was determined to explore as much of space as possible before its enemies could. So starting in October of 1989, people working at NASA would turn on their computers, and instead of seeing their normal screen of data, they would see a message. Worms against nuclear killers. Wank. Your system has been officially wanked. You talk of times of peace for all, wanked? And then prepare for war. Yes.
Hold up, you said wanked?
Yes.
What?
It stands for Worms Against Nuclear Killers.
I know, but still.
I will post a picture of the message in the sources page. It's very reminiscent of, like, typing out emojis with a keyboard, like hearts or XD faces.
Less than three?
Yes. So the screen would then proceed to show large amounts of files being deleted. The users would then obviously begin to panic. This happened to many people working not only at NASA, but also at the U.S. Department of Energy. It spread to CERN, C-E-R-N, in Switzerland, the European Organization for Nuclear Research, and RIKEN, in Japan, which is a scientific research organization. Here's the thing, though. The file deletion was a lie. No files were being deleted. It was just all for show. Like, it was looking like files were being deleted, but nothing was ever actually being deleted.
So there's just a bunch of trolls.
Yes. However, many users would immediately delete their entire system to try to remove the bug, and then would lose all their files. So any data loss was entirely due to the victims frantically purging their systems without contacting their tech support first.
That's really fucking hilarious.
Yeah, it is. So once tech support was called in, they advised users to not delete files. It was clear that no files were being deleted, and so there was no reason to frantically remove everything. Even after everyone was given warnings to not delete data, some still didn't listen and would do it anyway. So the virus was nicknamed the Wank Worm.
The Wank Worm! That sounds like a euphemism for masturbation addiction.
Do you now see why I named my notes Jacking Off?
Yes. Because I saw that and I was like, what the fuck is she talking about? I haven't been that confused looking at your note title since Dick.
So that opens up a discussion for what kind of virus this is. Because there are many different subtypes of malware, just like there are many different types of subtypes of actual germ-based viruses. The Wank Worm was a worm. A worm is a malicious code that replicates itself, spreading itself all over the computer and the network that it's connected to. In this case,
and it doesn't really do anything besides give you this fake notification, correct?
We're getting there. In this case, the worm worked to spread itself over as many computers as possible. Once it was in, it would then prevent users from getting past the wank message. It was a very clever code, and a surprisingly simple one. One analyst explained that the worm was designed to run on a DECnet internet, DECnet being the protocol NASA's SPAN network used so that computers can communicate with each other. It started infecting computers in NASA and the Department of Energy, DOE, and gained account access by using a set of common usernames and a simple strategy, username equals password. Upon gaining access, it would print various phrases such as, remember, even if you win the race, you're still a rat, the FBI is watching you, and vote anarchist before infecting the computer.
I don't know why, but I always thought that NASA just ran on, like, dial-up. Does somebody answer the phone at NASA and suddenly all the computer systems just go offline?
No.
NASA doesn't run on dial-up?
No. NASA is one of the few government agencies that, like, they would have access to the best technology. Like, law enforcement? Dial-up. No. They don't get anything. They are still running on fax machines and notebooks. But NASA gets, like, everything.
They get the dial. They get dial-up. Because this was, like, the 70s? 80s?
89.
Okay.
So before infecting the computer, the worm would check if the computer was already infected. If it was, the worm would delete itself and not try to infect the computer again, because there's no point. So, clever employees John McMahon from NASA and Kevin Oberman from the Department of Energy wrote an anti-wank program, which would trick the wank worm into thinking a non-infected computer was infected. So a non-infected computer would stay non-infected. This, of course, was only a stopgap. Later variations of the worm could catch on to this move. So Bernard Parrot of the French National Institute of the Nuclear and Particle Physics, of Nuclear and Particle Physics, wrote a program to kill the worm. It still took weeks to purge all systems of the worm. So what exactly was the purpose of the worm?
I feel like it was just made by the first internet trolls.
For my introduction and the wording of the message, you might have some ideas of where this is going. Galileo, in specific.
He lived a long time before 1989.
Not that kind of Galileo.
Oh.
Galileo
also
was a new...
Fun fact.
Okay.
Fun fact, not spooky. Taylor Swift actually owns the trademark to 1989. Yes, I interrupted you to give you a Taylor Swift fun fact. I can feel the eye rolls from here, Abigail.
That's good, because they were ample.
Continue.
So Galileo was a nuclear-powered spacecraft. During the Cold War... And only a few years after the Challenger blew up and mid-launch, killing all seven people on board, the American people were terrified of what would happen if nuclear power and spaceships were combined. The worm, in the end, did not prevent Galileo from launching on time on October 18th, but it cost as much as $500,000 to clean up the mess. The worms were released into the system on October 16th and October 29th.
Okay. Have you said how they get into the computers in the first place?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you need me to re-explain?
I'll figure it out when I edit the episode.
But if you don't know, other people won't know.
I also have the memory of a goldfish with dementia, Abigail.
Basically, they would try and log in to the internet that NASA and the Department of Energy shared by cracking their usernames and passwords.
But how did, like, the first one get in there? Because presumably, with what you're saying, that one had to be infected on the network first.
No one knows for sure.
Sounds like some, I don't say corporate espionage, but it's not corporate.
Definitely not corporate. So let's talk about the culprits. No one was ever actually found to be the attacker. Malware attacks are difficult to pin on anyone today, and even more so in 1989. The FBI and NASA investigated the crime together.
Okay.
They initially...
This is before the, this is before the NSA became, like, a thing, right?
Yes.
Okay. Because I know how much you love the NSA.
Gross.
You've probably read the entirety of the NSA Wikipedia article.
I did for our series on Big Brother.
And you cited Wikipedia as a source?
No.
Abigail's a fan of Wikipedia.
I am a fan of them as a starting point for your research. Not as an actual source. So, they initially believed that France was to blame, but they ruled them out. There was only one place on the DECnet internet which was not targeted, and that was DECnet Area 48, which was New Zealand. New Zealand was a nuclear-free zone, and the code had a portion in it which literally indicated that. And said, like, avoid this, don't replicate in that area, leave it alone.
Hmm.
Some thought that this attack originated from New Zealand, but the absence of an attack was the only thing pointing towards that. The Australian police also arrested two hackers from the hacking group The Realm. Their hacking personas were Electron and Phoenix. Their real names have never actually been released. They were arrested for a multitude of other hacking crimes. Like hacking into universities, getting into nuclear facility systems, etc. They had enough access for sure. They were never actually charged with the worm, though. There was another member of the group, The Realm, whose name you might recognize, though. Julian Assange.
Sounds vaguely familiar.
He is now the creator of the site WikiLeaks, and is also known for helping getting Edward Snowden out of the U.S.
I know that you're a fan of WikiLeaks, Abigail. Do you simp for WikiLeaks?
I have mixed feelings about it.
Oh. Do you not feel like WikiLeaks is an accurate source?
It's an accurate source. That's not the issue that I take with it.
What is the issue you take with it?
That's a long topic.
Well, this is going to be a shorter episode, so you have time.
I feel like that's a conversation best left for another episode.
It's going to talk about only that for episode 50?
No.
Okay.
So, he is an extremist when it comes to freedom of information. Some strongly suspect that he was also a player in the creation of the Wankworm, but nothing is known for sure. Regardless of the who, it is clear that the creator of the worm didn't seem to intend to do wide-scale harm. A worm like this could have actually deleted the files easily. It could have done a lot worse. It could have changed numbers without notifying anyone. It could have messed with a lot of different things. The damage this could have done could have been catastrophic, especially when messing with nuclear power. Their intention was to send a message, and only to send a message. This was the first time someone used hacking to send a message. The first instance of something called hacktivism in history. This is just one piece of the puzzle. A puzzle we will begin to reconstruct after episode 50. And that's all I have.
Excited for episode 50?
I'm excited for episode 51.
Oh.
Well, also then. Episode 50.
Damn, this is going to be like our second shortest episode. Or shortest depending on how much it gets edited down.
Yeah.
Because currently our first episode is our shortest at 41 minutes. We should probably go back and try and fix the audio issues.
Yeah.
With the first one.
I know.
Because it's bad. The audio issues are bad. We're not good at talking in that one. We're still not good at talking, but it was worse back then.
Yes. I also felt like throwing up the entire time.
Yeah, no, you looked terrified the entire time we recorded. And that's when the crackdown was, like, real crackdown.
You still had, like, rusty nails all over the floor.
It wasn't rusty nails, it was rusty mattress parts.
There were nails.
There were no nails.
There were definitely nails.
Fingernails. Rusty fingernails, Abigail.
All right,
but so that's all we have for you. And next time we see you, it will be for episode 50.
You should check out our social medias.
What? You're transitioning this real weird. I feel like you're leading into something that is not what you're cueing me for. You should check out our social medias. It's like, what the fuck? Are you posting something on there that I don't know about? You never post anything on our social media. It's always me.
I might.
And you're not going to fucking tell me, are you? So I'm just going to get a notification and be like, oh, somebody liked it. I don't think anybody has ever liked our posts on Facebook.
Yeah, you should check out our social medias.
At Pen and Purgatory on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Send us an email.
PenanceandPurgatory@gmail.com.
Rate us on Facebook or Apple Podcasts.
Apple Podcasts would definitely be the best way.
And that's all we have.
But Facebook is good too. All right. And then we'll see you for our 50th episode extravaganza next episode.
It'll be fun.
Unless you're a psychopath who listens backwards after episode 50 gets released.
To be fair, that's kind of how I listen to episodes. I go from the most recent to the least recent.
What the fuck is wrong with you? Fucking why?
Because I want to hear, what's their best. And if their best isn't good enough for me, then I'm not going to bother with their worst.
Abigail, you know if people did that, we would have no listeners.
If people started from episode 1, we would have no listeners. If people started from present day, we would have more listeners.
Usually episode 1 is... Whenever I start listening to a podcast, I'll listen to the first 2 or 3 episodes, see how it goes. Because the first episode is always going to be rough, no matter what the podcast is. That's just facts, unless at least one of those people had a pre-existing podcast.
Or they go back and re-record it.
We should do a redo on our first episode.
I have very mixed feelings about that.
We'll still leave episode 1 up, but we, revisit it with better research and whatnot.
I'll consider it.
Maybe. Maybe one day. But that's all we have for you. Until next time.
Stay safe.
Bye.
See you later.